Enjoying a Bullet Rye Frontier Whiskey is Pablo Morale Martinez.
And I'm Ernesto Mancibo.
And together we are
Robots versus Taxes on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yes.
Classing it up this week.
Tink.
Yeah, hope the mics picked that up.
Yeah, I know.
A nice spike in the audio.
I hate those. Yeah. I hate like seeing them come up and I have to go in and like cut them down.
Oh. Look at you being the pro.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, I guess. I suppose so. Yeah.
Did you see that New York Times article?
I did not.
There's a New York Times article where he rambles incoherently. I feel like they published that interview with Trump verbatim, right?
Oh, shit.
And like the stuff that he rambles on about, it has to be heard to be believed. Like it makes absolutely no sense. He's definitely in that Sarah Palin land of like, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just saying random words, you know.
Shit.
And then one of the things that I feel like a lot of news outlets are picking up is the fact that he says that he lost a lot of money at this. Like they ask him about what is the presidency like? Something akin to that.
God, why are they asking him these fucking?
Well, because it's the New York Times, the failing New York Times.
Oh, okay.
As you know. I don't know. I forget who it was that coined that phrase. Some idiot. but he more or less told the New York Times that the presidency, he's lost so much money being president, and that the position is one of the biggest losers in history. So, to say that wasn't the least presidential thing that he's done so far, let's face it, he could do so much worse, and he probably will by the time this airs.
Oh my God.
So
imagine saying that about your job in one of the most highly publicized newspaper entities in the world. Like, I mean, imagine if we just talk shit about Radio Free Brooklyn to like the Washington Post.
Right.
You know. And like fucking Tom Tini's off, you know, sitting somewhere, you know, having a latte, because I assume that's what he has. And, you know, he sees us, you know, two jackasses like, oh, fucking Radio Free Brooklyn. They, you know, they don't even like give us comp avocado toast or whatever, you know. It's like, just spits it out. Poof. What are these two idiots talking about? You know, pretty sure they're running a prostitution ring for, you know, emus. You know?
Him and Robert Pritchard talk about it. They're just like, what the fuck, guys? How do we let these two assholes on the air? Now, we love you guys.
Yes, we do. Hi, Radio Free Brooklyn.
We love you all out there in Radio Free Brooklyn land. So,
dude, what's up with your hair?
What about it?
It's like it's all like smushed off to the side.
Oh, because like you know,
did you not sleep?
I did. I slept like superfluously.
Because your hair from back when I first met you, your hair has always done something like weird when you don't sleep well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
I slept really well, actually, for the first time in a long time.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh no. Now it looks.
Now it's more back to normal.
Yeah. All right. Nice.
Quaffed it a bit.
Yeah, I quaffed it up. I need the pompadour. I really need to rock it. And like it messes up with the dreadlocks and the
oh my God,
and the pigtails and the the words number one badass next to the, you know, the Nike logo shaved into the side
Jesus
of my head.
Christ. Are you gonna go over to get that hairstyle done at The Spot, which
yes,
is a few blocks
yes,
away from me?
Exactly.
All right.
Calling out local businesses.
That's right.
The Spot.
We support local business. You walk in, they're just like, what do you want? It's like, I want to look like, did you ever read those comics when Marvel and DC got together and just made like other superheroes that
Amalgam
Comics that nobody really likes or remembers, and he's just like, say no more.
Give me the Rob Liefeld character. They're like, do you want Shatterstar or do you want Captain America? Because you're going to have to get implants for that.
Oh, shit.
I'm gonna have to cut off your feet.
What? Take that, Liefeld. Yeah, what Liefeld did to Captain America on that cover, man, was ridiculous.
Rough.
It was. I don't understand how that got published. Like, it was.
Wow. That is definitely a bosom that I can salute, and I'll be like, God bless America,
Jesus,
land of the free.
It's somebody actually did a Photoshop. They took Chris Evans' photo. You know that shot when he first emerges from the chamber after getting the super soldier serum and getting transformed
in
the movie?
Yes, yes, yes.
So they took that shot and they Photoshopped it so that the proportions match what Rob Liefeld did in that drawing. And it looked absolutely horrific. It was something out of a nightmare. If you saw somebody walking down the street looking like this, you'd be like, oh my God, they're on the verge of dying or exploding.
Remember a few years back, like this guy had like silicone injected into his biceps, and yeah. Didn't he explode?
Yeah, he one of his biceps
popped. Yeah,
basically.
But he looked like Liefeld era like superheroes.
Pretty much. I mean, look, almost all superheroes the way they're drawn are like proportioned ridiculously, but Rob Liefeld took it to a place where it was just, I'm sorry to say, and like, you know, it's not like I have his level of skill anyway, but it was just bad drawing, you know? It was a level of like anatomical inaccuracy that I was just like, all right.
That's the thing. He only,
pull it in.
Yeah, he only needed a little bit finessing when it came to the muscles on muscles, you know, aesthetic. But I don't know.
I guess he decided to compensate by just giving everybody tons and tons of pouches.
Yes. Oh my God. Deadpool. At one point, I felt like Deadpool was going to collapse under the weight of his own like pouches. It's like, he had so many, like, so much storage for fucking bullets.
Like, gotta carry bullets, gotta carry pills.
Chimichangas.
All that sort of stuff. So, yes. So, apparently, this is the shitting on Rob Liefeld episode. We know you guys have been asking for it.
Is that your Deadpool?
Yes. Yeah. That was my Deadpool.
There's a weird affectation to your Deadpool.
Well, because I gave Deadpool a little bit of a lift.
Yeah.
I feel like he would do that.
Yeah.
He
would. Okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think, you know, before the show started, I was regaling Pablo and Sabrina, telling them that I've been catching up on the last two seasons of House of Cards. And there were a lot of moments where I just start thinking about Deadpool with all the fourth wall breaking that happens with the two main...
Frank Underwood and...
Yeah, and Carrie Underwood. Yeah.
Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood. That's her name, right?
No.
What's her name?
Susan? No. Carrie Underwood is that country singer.
Becky?
No. Why can't I remember her name now? Claire.
Claire.
Claire Underwood.
It's a hard C.
Yeah, you know, so. True. Oh, jeez, yeah.
Yeah, so.
A lot of people see her as a hard C on that show.
That's not what I meant. Ooh. You can direct all text messages and tweets to Pablo Morale Martinez.
Oh, come on. That's a joke that they actually make on the show. I mean, I'm not.
That's true. That's true.
But still, yeah, rain your hate on me, America.
He feeds on it.
I feed on it.
But yeah, every time they break the fourth wall, now I just think of Deadpool and like him walking into the scene. Thanks, buddy.
No problem. Hold on. Yeah. No, it would be
funny. Problem.
It would be funny if Deadpool just showed up in the background and be like, "Hey, who you talking to?
You guys are assholes, just so you know."
And then he just shoots Frank Underwood in the face. It's like, I know things about you that make it so that you shouldn't be alive. It starts off like it just kicks off the Deadpool like Netflix cinematic universe. which would be dope. Now that I think about it,
House of Deadpool. You know,
House of Deadpool.
It's so funny that you said that that phrase before that you just said, the Netflix cinematic universe, because I was just thinking to myself today that with all the properties that Netflix has developed over the past several years, they could do, if they just, you know, lost their minds, they could do like crossover after crossover. It's just like the kids from Stranger Things just wander into fucking House of Cards, which then
goes into Black Mirror.
Yeah, and, you know, all that shit.
Oh,
you know?
That's so weird. That's too weird. That's way too weird.
Might be too weird. But one thing that I think might work, I was thinking that there should be a Saturday morning cartoon cinematic universe where, like, Thundercats and the Ninja Turtles and the Bionic Six and, like,
the Bionic Six
and the Transformers. I gotta say, I'm all over the place today. The Bionic Six.
you really are. It's like, I kind of love it.
I was listening to their theme song again yesterday, and I gotta say, one of the best composed theme songs ever. It's like you're ready to jump into wholesome action.
Yes.
Where superpowered human beings might possibly be killing supervillains, you know, off camera.
What?
You don't have bionics just to catch people.
True.
You know, you're a murdering family.
Yeah,
you
snap people's necks.
Yeah. But
Bionic Six.
But it ooh, ooh. We stand together. We fight for right.
I don't know all the lyrics.
Me neither.
Like, all I can think about is like the Pokemon theme, because I feel like I used to like sing that softly to myself.
But it was,
wander across the moon.
You got to get yourself out of bed somehow, you know. But that cartoon was super progressive
Pokemon
too.
To understand the power that's inside
Pokemon.
You're my best friend. In a world we must defend. All right, that's enough. We gotta stop.
All righty.
All right.
But Bionic Six was like kind of progressive too, because there were like, I think all the kids were adopted. There were two blonde kids, a boy and a girl. There was a black kid, and there was an Asian kid, and there was a monkey robot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, okay. You know, in case.
Right. Just in case. That's good. It's always good to have that around.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that monkey robot evolved into that whistling weird monkey robot that they had on Silverhawks.
Oh my God!
Silverhawks is just Bionic Six, and like after a post-apocalypse has wiped out Earth.
I loved Silverhawks, even though it's somewhat ridiculous. It's just like, we're just going to coat people in silver and they're going to fly, quote unquote, fly through space.
Yeah.
You know, where there's no air. Do they have wings? Of course they have wings.
They're
silver hawks, not silver penguins, you know. But my favorite part was when they would like put the their face masks on. It was just because they would just like wave their hand in front of their face real quick, and it would beyond Stark Tech, just a face mask would just appear, and they'd be able to breathe in space.
Because there's no air in space.
You got to, exactly, while they're flying through space, they have to be able to breathe. So
I'm fighting myself not to make any Simpsons references this week because of the amount of Simpsons references I used last week.
Why fight it, man? Why fight it?
Because every time you were just like, there's no air in space. And I'm in my Homer voice, so I just keep thinking, there's an air in space museum.
Oh, man.
God.
Nice.
All right. Let that be the only one. I should carry around like a swear jar, but instead of a swear jar, it's like a Simpsons reference jar.
Oh, you might as well just make that your main account.
Yeah. Because
all your money will just go into that jar.
Man,
like, yeah, I bank at jar. Simpsons jar.
Simpsons jar. Yeah, I'm throwing. Oh shit, I snorted.
That stays in.
I'm throwing that around like it was like, oh, I bank at Santander or Deutsche Bank. No, I bank at Simpsons jar.
There you go. Bust out your debit card, you know.
Oh, man.
It's made out of graham cracker.
There's no team called the Spoingos. Oh, man, come on, let's stop.
But seriously, Saturday morning cinematic universe would, I think it would work. If it's written correctly, if we get just the right actors.
Yeah.
Because I would want to do all of it live action.
And is it going to be all 80s cartoons? Because we got to include like the Visionaries and, was it the Visionaries? Definitely not the Ghostbusters. Not the go Ghostbusters.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's go. I hated that, those Ghostbusters. I was like, this isn't the real fucking Ghostbusters.
But I watched it anyway because it was on TV. Really? I don't know how they got away with that either.
Well, that's why, you know, the real Ghostbusters are just like, we're the real ones.
Yeah.
Licensed and shit.
But the other Ghostbusters had a talking Jeep.
Oh, really? I always switched it off when it was like those ones.
But it wasn't
they,
like...
Didn't they have like a giant ape?
They did have a giant ape as well. Apes were big in the 80s.
Yeah, they were.
They apparently, you know, they never ripped humans' like limbs and genitals off. They just helped you with whatever you were doing. So, but yeah, they had a talking Jeep, but it wasn't fully like working or maintained. So it would always go like, you know, like one
dude,
of those.
Dude, that's going to come out great on the show. Yeah. Like on the recording. Oh my God. There that's going to come out there so good.
It's not, you know, there's a license to this. So if you want to use that sound, please, you know, reach out to us. We'll license it out to you for a nominal fee.
Yes, we will.
So yeah.
Yeah, because Robots versus Taxes also dabbles in fully editing.
That's what we do. Yeah. That's what we do. So yeah, I think we should get this off the ground, this cinematic universe, and I think Marvel, watch out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. We're the house of ideas here. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Then again, by the time this episode comes out, Marvel will probably own all of these cartoons. Yeah. So yeah.
I'm drinking whiskey out of an ice cream dish.
I think you're starting a trend. I mean, look, you do work in Williamsburg. You might have something. Yeah, I know, here, right? You know? You could start
that
a whole...
guy's on to something, brah. Oh, no, I've alienated 85% of the audience.
Really?
Yeah.
You think most of our audience is Williamsburg?
Yeah, it's Williamsburg.
That's something else. We got to expand out to at least Coney Island or something.
Before the show started, there was one thing that I wanted to talk about was regarding the we got hit with a polar vortex.
If the
survivors of the polar vortex are alive to hear this, and it was pretty bad. But the worst of it, I think, was the fact that like there's a now refresh my memory. It's a jail, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a correctional facility here in New York.
In Brooklyn, yeah.
Yeah, in Brooklyn that has intermittent power and minimal heating.
Yeah.
So Sean King actually posted a chilling video of people banging, like the inmates banging against the bars because they're being kept in inhumane conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Like, I have to say, it's one of the more awful feelings that I've gotten about it, about society at large, and the fact that I feel like our current infrastructure is crumbling before our very eyes.
It really is.
And the transparency that's going on makes it really obvious to see what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like that's one of those things that I'm just like, trying to fight myself to talk about it because I wanted to keep it light this week, but
no, I hear you. I hear these. That's actually a very important thing. I mean, and to think that New York wasn't even hit like as bad by the polar vortex as say like the Midwest, like Chicago. Like,
oh man, Chicago. I just imagine like somebody trying to buy like the newspaper or like a Snickers bar at like one of those places outside, and they try to hand the money over to the guy in the booth.
Yeah,
but that guy has had his jaw like snapped off because he died of frostbite.
Yeah,
like,
that's
hours ago.
It's a wasteland. It's like the poster for The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh yes,
it's just It's just the Statue of Liberty sticking out of a chunk of ice with her like dress over her head. You know, it's like it's fucking crazy. But yeah, what's happening to these prisoners was just utterly inhumane. And thank goodness that Sean King, he's always there to just point these things out. When I was on my way over here, though, I saw that Bill de Blasio had said that he's sending state agencies over to the prison to investigate and to resolve the issue, because he was like the federal government has let us down in a way that is almost unforgivable. So
yeah, because it's all prison lobbyists that don't give a shit. All they give a shit about is about the
just bodies and cells.
Yeah, exactly. Just sticking bodies and cells, and mm-hmm. that's you know.
That's how they make their money.
Yeah, the cycle of commerce continues in the United States with minimal thought to what happens to human beings.
I came across a story that phenomenons like the polar vortex might be in the future, in the near future, more of a normality than an anomaly. You know, it's like things like this happen so far every once in a while, you know, but this polar vortex this year is like brutal. When you see maps of the United States,
it's just purple, like it's that big purple splotch across the United States,
you know.
I was like, holy shit, that's terrible. And then I was like, geez, you know, global warming is really fucking up this, like, our planet. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I turn to the next page of, you know, the Huffington Post, and it's like, Donald Trump tweets that he doesn't believe, or he says that he tweeted some bullshit about, like, he can't wait for global warming to come back because this polar vortex nixes whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. He said some stupid bullshit. And I was just, I was talking to Sabrina about it, and I just burst out laughing. I was just like, he doesn't know how weather works.
Jesus. It's like, you do know weather and climate are two different things, right? Right?
Yeah, no.
Right?
Oh, man. The 2020 candidates are being touted around and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cory Booker's thrown his name into the ring, finally.
He did. Yeah. How do you feel about him?
I don't. on the road to my political disillusionment,
mm-hmm.
he was a hard branch to hit on the way down. So
yeah, that's true.
Because I watched this Sundance TV show. Me and my wife, we watched a Sundance TV show called Brick City.
Okay.
And it was all about Newark.
Okay.
And how he was trying, like, the inner workings of Newark, and how he was trying to make Newark a better place by putting in programs, you know, coordinating more with the police department. And he seemed like a hero to mm-hmm. me. And I was like, yo, I believe in this guy. I believe in this guy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a few years ago, I found out he was in Big Pharma's pocket. And then yeah. I was just like, oh, so he's totally for raising, you know, the prices of medication for people who are in dire need of affordable healthcare.
Mm.
And then I was like, I was like Scarlet Witch. I was like, no more Cory Bookers.
Oh, God damn. Look, it definitely does not bode well for him that that information, that he's in the pocket of Big Pharma. However, I'm going to try and look more into that because I think that as a politician, there's a certain point at which you have to get dirty. And I'm not justifying what he did. I'm not saying that it's okay. I'm just saying there's almost no politician on the big stage who doesn't have some sort of dirt on them, dirt in their pocket, dirt in their, I don't know, cloacas.
Well,
I'm just going to ride that word into the ground today. So because when I saw him at the Kavanaugh hearings, last year, he was standing up in a way, with a boldness that still makes me admire him to a certain extent.
And I won't deny that. Yeah, there are certain aspects about him that appear like he's not a run-of-the-mill establishment Democrat, mm-hmm. right? He actually has guts, is what I'm trying to say. That's right. But at the same time, is that guts or is that him making up for a guilty conscience?
That's a good question.
Yeah, because like doing good things is all well. It's great, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, it's like in Voltron when
I love that segue. I love that segue. Go for it.
It's like when Lotor is like, "I'm creating a new power source, and like it's going to revolutionize the universe."
That's right.
And then you find out where the power source is coming from, and it's spoilers. It's fucking slave labor.
And then, but guys, it's clean.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he said. He was like, "You don't understand." It's like, what are you fucking nuts? Like, everybody in Voltron is just like, all the paladins are like, "Are you insane? Are you goddamn out of your mind? What the fuck, dude?" It's and like, then he's just like, "We gotta fight." And then they have an outer space battle, and then everything's cool because we hit something with the sword.
That's right. Have you seen the final season of Voltron?
Yes, yet? I did. Oh my god.
Are you not destroyed?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Look at my face, man. I'm dead inside.
Jesus Christ. I can't believe they just did that to
us. Yeah, I know. We can talk about it because it's been out for a while, right? Spoilers for the new season of Voltron.
Yeah.
Allura, when I found out that she's got...
Laura.
It's like that whole relationship between, oh man, I'm getting emotional. Hold on. That whole relationship between her and what's his name?
Vance.
Is it Lance?
Lance Vance.
The only Cuban on the show, which was really cool to find out.
I'm just glad they gave ethnicities and genders out, like
hunk is Samoan, Lance is Cuban. What's her? Pidge's Italian, and I'm like, when did that happen? Because her last name is Holt.
Italian, but does not conform to typical gender roles or identities. Like,
it's fucking dope.
That was dope as hell.
Yeah.
Was it not meta as fuck in that first episode when Pidge was watching the old Voltron cartoon?
It blew my mind.
She's like, "I don't even sound like that." And then she did an impersonation of that later in the episode as she dressed in like old school. It was like DLC, but for the show, because she dressed. I was like, "Ow! Ah!"
So, oh my god, we've definitely gone off the rails again. But yes.
But yeah, the relationship between Allura and Lance.
Yes, that was one of the more touching aspects of the show. And shattering when we had to all say goodbye to Allura. And that was devastating. And the stakes were so raised that I was like, there's no way they can win. at some point, because it was just like... Because Hagar, the witch, was shattering realities.
All realities. It was down to like this last sliver of a tendril.
This one sliver of universe.
Yeah, but I love how they made it more complex. It's like, as crazy as she was and what she was doing, they still humanized her in a way, because like she lost her family.
Yeah.
I feel like her and Kingpin from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse need to get together.
Oh, yeah.
To talk about their problems, because they both essentially had the same plot.
Yeah, and now we know. Yeah. And we know how Hagar likes her men big.
Yeah, she really does. He's just walls of men.
She's a size queen.
Literally. Oh, man.
And
that super ultra mega Voltron that they had to form in order to like,
and even then it was like not enough.
It's like you're fighting in essentially like one of the Twin Towers, and it's still not enough.
So that again, that points to the whole thing of like how I feel like Cory Booker is corrupt. And that's where I'm wrapping up that point. And I'm Pablo Morale Martinez.
And I'm Ernesto Mancibo.
And together we are
Robots versus Taxes on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yeah!
You see, we like to tie everything together.
We do.
With nuance on this show.
Oh. God, you a fucking Kid Icarus, man.
Hey, listen, I was not prepared for the ass kicking that I was going to deliver to you before the show. My goodness. Pablo, favorite go-to character who's pretty devastating with is Mr. Game & Watch, which is surprisingly the only blackface character within Super Smash Brothers.
You think that's blackface?
I'm kidding.
He's like, if you Scooby-Doo the whole thing and it's like you pull off the head of Mr. Game & Watch, you find Ben Shapiro.
Oh, my God.
I knew it was you, Ben Shapiro. I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't you for you fucking social justice warriors.
Shit. Wow. Wow. So, yeah. But speaking of Scooby-Doo memes, Instagram has been taken over. Or at least starting to get taken over with calls for
motherfuck
fucking Shaggy from
I don't understand what is up with the world
apparently
today.
He's the most powerful character that's ever been created in the history of everything.
Why is that a thing? Why? I don't understand it. Why?
It just is. Because it's on Instagram, that's why.
This is fucking garbage. You know, this is how they take away our freedoms. Like, this is all the smokescreen text. It's like, what's happening in Yemen? What's happening in Syria? I have to know because this Shaggy meme is inexplicable.
Well, it's...
It's indecipherable.
It's our reality now. And we just have to come to accept it. There's even a petition to have him included as a DLC in Mortal Kombat 11.
There's also a petition to get him included in fucking Super Smash Brothers.
Hey, listen, I think his time has come.
What?
I mean,
what? What do you even? Has the whole world gone crazy?
Look,
am I the only one who gives a shit about the rules?
We've never questioned what was in those Scooby snacks, and now we know. Oh, God. It's heroin. It's pure, pure heroin.
So, did Shaggy also eat Scooby snacks?
Probably. He was high as fuck. Whatever was crunchy and nearby, yeah, he was gonna be like, "Hey, Scoob.
Yeah.
Mind if I get one of those?" Yeah. Meanwhile, the other members of the Scooby crew are just like, he is always talking to that fucking dog, like the dog is talking to him. He's your friend.
Yeah.
He always brings the good shit.
We can't. And plus, we can't kick him out now. He's got a knife. Because none of them are armed. They're detectives and none of them are armed.
Well, that's true. Somehow they managed to come out of everything, you know, without being stabbed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Scooby is like secretly rabid and they just keep him under control with those Scooby snacks until they find like the main villain, and then they just like start to like wean him off it. And Scooby's just like, oh God, all right.
The sound effects from you today are out of this world. Let me tell you, it's sensational, really.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
all I thought was like the entire show, the entire concept of, Scooby-Doo and the Mystery Machine, whatever. Is because there was a carbon monoxide leak in a hippie van, and this is the last. The whole show is just like,
oh my,
it's like
God.
Saint Elsewhere, where the entire show just exists in Shaggy's mind.
That's so sad. That is so sad. But I bet that will become like the new internet like rumor.
I hope so.
Started by you, there are going to be YouTube videos about this. You know.
It's just the whole thing where it's like Shaggy's only using 10% of his power, man. I'm just like, I don't give a fuck. I don't understand why this is a thing.
Hey, man, Shaggy is the hero that...
Don't do that.
That we need.
No.
So I saw Bumblebee last week. I gotta say, best Transformers movie to come out so far.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Which goes to show how low the bar was with the other Transformers movies that came out.
Speaking of lighthearted, fair in entertainment, have you seen the Ted Bundy tapes?
I did.
You did?
I did. Hilarious. I gotta say, nonstop chuckles from beginning to end. That guy missed his calling. The fuck up.
Yeah, come on.
This guy, wow, bag of cats.
Yeah. No, and it's interesting to see how he's being portrayed in society at large.
Oh, yeah.
Because Netflix had released a statement saying, like, hey, you know, it's fun to lust after people, but, you know, there's definitely hundreds upon thousands of characters on our streaming service where you can lust after them safely and not, glamorize a serial killer.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Let's try not to do that.
They really said that?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So,
well, I mean, essentially the entirety of the first two episodes were just like, but handsome guy,
smart, handsome guy,
went to college, was going places,
blue eyes, you look into his eyes, it's like the first time you heard the Beatles sing.
Yeah.
You
know? It's like people were just fucking fawning over him. It's just like he murdered people.
Also, he looks insane. I don't understand what people's Sabrina was just like I don't see what's so special about him. He just looks like a nondescript white guy.
He's the asshole that we've all worked with.
Yes,
like you and I have literally worked with this guy.
Yes,
it just so happened he didn't become a serial killer that we know of. He just went off and started a family. Mm-hmm. You know. But if that hadn't happened, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You know.
I wanted to talk to you about that in comparison to the whole R. Kelly thing.
Mm, mm.
But there's a stark difference between.
Oh.
Obviously, there's one huge difference is one is a killer and one is just a pedophile.
Mm. But it's black and white. See what I did there? In terms of how. Both personalities are treated with some parallels. In Ted Bundy's case, it seems like society at large seemed like it was treating him like he was the anomaly. It's just like that's why they kept playing up the whole, oh, he's handsome, smart, this and that and the other. If only there was something different, he could have had a bright future, da-da-da. But he went down this way, you know. Even the judge... at the end, like in the last episode, started
fawning over him.
He's just he's just like, Mr. Bundy, I just want to let you know that I have no ill will toward you.
Yeah.
And had circumstances been different, you could have had a bright. It's just like.
You could have served in my court any day.
Exactly.
Like, he's a fucking serial killer.
He murdered women and just discarded them.
And there was all right. So I haven't seen the final episode of it. So I'm kind of hypocritical in the fact, like I was just like, hey, you should watch the whole thing.
Yeah, you fucking badgered me like for 2 weeks. You were just like, as a matter of fact, the last text you sent me, I think it was like on Wednesday. You practically ordered me to watch this show. I was like, oh, all right. I guess I'm watching this.
Sorry.
Then. No, I mean. There were consequences.
You should know at this point that I'm a terrible texter and I'm a horrible phone call. I'm a horrible phone call. I'm just bad at communicating via technology.
Okay.
I'm more of a face-to-face guy. And even then, I'm on.
God help you if you mispronounce something. He'll look down his nose at you.
So... So, All right. So I saw up until that the penultimate episode, right? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, this is it to me, it's such, it speaks both these things, R. Kelly and Ted Bundy, their respective documentaries show something to me, like very glaring to me, which is male privilege.
Mm.
Because you can divide one up, you can divide them up into subsections. Obviously, Ted Bundy is white male privilege.
Yep.
And almost with it in a mirror,
mm-hmm.
it's like the mirror aspect of that is like not only that R. Kelly is a celebrity,
mm-hmm.
And that affords celebrity privilege.
Sure.
But because this is a country that prioritizes white male privilege, they don't care what happens to the black community.
Mm-hmm.
So people like R. Kelly are allowed to roam free.
Yeah.
And do injustice.
For sure. If R. Kelly had been doing what he did to young white girls.
Oh, he would have been in jail 30. They would have buried him underneath the jail. He would have
been in that jail that they, if you didn't sign the Sokovia Accords.
the raft.
The raft. They would have put him there. And then just.
I was going to say the Phantom Zone, but the raft is pretty intense.
And then just push that into the Antarctic. Like he would have been, nobody would have seen him ever again.
Holy shit.
Man. That would have been an awkward, like, deleted scene on the Civil War DVD.
Oh, my God. You know, just,
even Captain America is just like, I'm not fucking with this guy, man. Fuck him.
Like, you hear, like, he opens, like, he's, as he's freeing. hold on. Okay. As he's freeing, like, Ant-Man and Falcon. He opens the door and it leads to, like, a corridor. And all he can hear, like, down the hall is, like, step in the name of love. Step in the name. Oh, he's just like, oh, nope, not this wrong door. Slam. Oh. I don't need him for the Secret Avengers.
Oh, God. Oh, shit.
That might be the best analogy yet. God. I think we topped ourselves.
God damn. But yeah, no, that celebrity privilege is a motherfucker because R. Kelly even still has a lot of supporters on his side. It actually made his catalog spike on Spotify.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
when it came out, it was just like
that always happens.
Mind boggling.
Yeah. With what's his name? Chris. His name escapes me. Chris Brown. Thank you.
From the producer's booth with the assist.
Yes. So there was Chris Brown. I don't understand these celebrities whose their catalog spikes
mm-hmm.
whenever, like, legal action or sketchy details about their lured life
mm-hmm.
pops up in the you know, in the populist view, mm-hmm. the population view. I don't know how to use that words today. I should stop drinking is what it is. So I don't know if that's going to happen to Michael Jackson, because apparently, like, there's a documentary that's about to be released about his life that's going to be devastating.
Well, apparently. I think you mentioned this last episode that at the screening at Sundance for this documentary, they actually had to have counselors in the lobby. Because it seemed like some of the content Yikes. Was so disturbing.
Yikes. So, geez.
Which I think was probably, it's probably being played up because they saw the ratings for the R. Kelly documentary and they are looking to get in on that action, I think, the creators.
Do you think so? Or do
so
you think...
I think that was dropped as a line to sort of play it up. So people are just like, holy shit, this is going to be, you know... This is going to be the thing to watch, the next thing to watch. I mean, maybe they had like one counselor there or something like that. Or I don't know.
Or they did have to counsel like some, because I feel like there were like survivors of abuse that were counseled afterwards. I'm not sure if that was the situation, but either way, in either case, the source material is triggering. So it's not far-fetched to me that something like that can, like, you know, people needing to get therapy or have, like, you know, emotional support at the ready. It's not far-fetched that that happens. So, yeah, I mean, but with regards to, like, the Ted Bundy and R. Kelly stuff, the problem that I find with those two documentaries, you know, circling back to that, is that, like, they're saying that the document, like, especially in the case of Ted Bundy, that they're glamorizing the serial killer.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's not even anything new. Like, that's what we do at the very, I can only speak for this country. We've glamorized serial killers for so long that even making up fictional ones like Hannibal Lecter.
Or Patrick Bateman.
Yeah, and taking it to an extreme level. It's like that. There's something that we place on serial killers. We admire their methods, their seemingly high intelligence. But I also feel like there is a cross-section between our admiration of that genre and the main population that makes up serial killers. Most serial killers are white. And the way white males are viewed in this country and have been viewed historically is like they are the... they're at the top of the pyramid. So obviously we have to extend some level of almost super villainy to them where we both, we hate them, but we also kind of admire them. You know, it's like there's a weird sick duality to it.
I don't know if, because I definitely fall into the category, I'm definitely guilty of falling into the category of being I would say fascinated. Mm-hmm. There was a one point where I was just fascinated with the minds of serial killers, because to me they reflected, you know, back in my my optimistic and like idealistic past, where concepts like white male privilege. Weren't at the forefront of my mind. These serial killers represented to me like ghost stories, but that existed in real life. You know, the stories of these serial killers like Ed Gein and, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer and Ted Bundy and John Wayne Gacy. All these names to me were screaming out something to me about society at large, and I couldn't put my finger on it up until like the concept of like white male privilege started like really coming out of like the sea of phrases in American vernacular. So that's when I was just like, oh, these people were able to get away with killing, like, because they had this kind of like crazy sociopathic illness. They were able to get away with it because people would never suspect, you know, the white guy who dresses up like a clown and, you know, probably abuses his family, but that's his business, you know. And it's like, and if he were, you know, if he were like a person of color, you know, again, they would bury him away in the raft.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, but because they existed at a certain time period where the spotlight was not on the Caucasian or white people, they were able to get away with as much as possible.
Oh yeah, yeah, and to a certain extent, it's just something that's been extended to white men throughout the history of this country. They can do pretty much the most horrible things that any population does and somehow not receive the most extreme consequences that is reserved for those of us categorized as other. I mean, there were literally slave owners who were compensated monetarily for the loss of their slaves after the Emancipation Proclamation. Can you imagine that shit? It's just like, oh, we're so sorry we had to take away your slaves. We're so sorry that we had to end your basically human rights violations. Here's money. Like,
yeah,
like that's the fabric of this country. Yeah. You know,
and it's because of that attitude that bad behavior, to put it lightly, mm-hmm. was allowed to go like unnoticed for years.
Yep.
And again, like how like a guy like Ted Bundy is kind of glamorized, like the Joker is glamorized. They're just like, oh, he's just like a supervillain.
Absolutely.
And it's like, no, he's a fucking serial killer. Like, stop doing that. Mm-hmm. You know?
And that whole thread of thinking extends penultimately to who we have in the White House now.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Always
making. We're not comparing him to Ted Bundy, but
I'm comparing him in the sense of the pathology of, we look past very blatant negative behavior and ascribe some sort of characteristic that has been idealized but does not exist.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And
shit.
And somehow that makes it okay. And it's not as simple as that. There were other factors that played into it. For example, the preceding administration doing something to white hegemony in this country that got them on edge, that primed them for the coming of motherfucker 45.
Yeah.
I honestly believe had we had maybe McCain or Mitt Romney in those prior administrations, I don't think a person like Donald Trump would have been able to win the presidency, because the country would not have been psychologically speaking in that place. When I say the country, I'm talking about the white part of the country.
Right, so. Right. But I don't know if I completely agree with you, because I actually think that Donald Trump had, like, I feel like there have been other podcasts that have approached this similar subject, where it's just like he's a symptom of something that's been long overdue, or he's the end game or cause of something that has been happening to the United States for a very long time, which is like there is a you know, a white bigoted, and that's who we reference mm-hmm. all the time on the show, just to clear up any kind of like, you know, negative connotations. We're not speaking to all white people. We're speaking to the white bigots who seem to speak the loudest out of your fucking community, you know?
I'm going to amend that after you're done with your
point. Okay, cool. Good, because I feel like that was I misspoke there.
No, not at all. Not at all.
He's definitely the end to the means of something that's been going on with this country for a long time, which is like, we let Ted Bundy types go because they represent a certain ideal that we can't quite place mm-hmm. in our culture. And Donald Trump is also another cause of that. It's like, because he is, he's a quote unquote self-made billionaire who, you know, happens to be white, and he happens to speak to a population that they're just like, that have been kind of fed on reality TV and the idea of white male misogyny, mm-hmm. to say that. So, whew, yeah. You can amend my...
No,
don't keep me in suspense.
No, I wasn't going to amend what you said. I was going to amend what I said.
Oh, like, okay.
Like, when I speak about white hegemony, I'm definitely speaking to the white bigoted population. I think that goes without saying, but I'm not just speaking to that population. I'm also talking to the nice white people as well.
Yeah.
I'm talking about to you guys who, you know, have that quote unquote racist uncle, because it seemed like every family has a racist uncle that you don't speak against, or that coworker, or that boss, or this, that, and the other. When you think that fighting racism is a passive act, I'm also speaking to that to that population, yes. as well, because by treating it that way, you allow it to propagate. Okay. You know, I'm not pointing the finger per se. I'm just saying that it, when you wonder why these things keep happening, you know, in terms of your part in it, that has something to do with it. So
yeah, we got to wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Wrap it up.
Wow. This episode was all over the place.
But I think it was dope.
I think it was cool too.
And if anybody feels differently, then write us a review on iTunes. Please say something.
Or send us an email.
Yeah.
We're at robotsversustaxes@gmail.com.
That's right.
That's
versus with a VS.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're not Zack Snydering anything. It's robots VS taxes@gmail.com.
That's right.
So tell us how you feel. And I feel like we're opening a can of worms there. So also follow us on all social media and write us a review on iTunes. So did you already say that? No. I'm drunk.
Whatever. We can't say it enough.
So, from both of us here, I'm Pablo Morales Martinez.
And I'm Ernesto Mancibo.
And together we are
Robots versus Taxes on Radio Free Brooklyn.
And while you're out there, you could try keeping it real.
But you should try keeping it right. Song of the week.